This year in our liturgy, we're going through the Gospel of Mark. I'm sure as you've read and prayed through the various Gospels, you've noticed that each of them have a particular nature, characteristic, flavor. In the Gospel of John, Jesus has these really long discourses, these long dialogues in which he speaks with beautiful eloquence and rich theological significance. The Gospel of Luke, on the other hand, appears to be addressed to a Gentile audience. And so there Jesus tells these beautiful parables, the parable of the prodigal son, the parable of the good Samaritan, and so forth. The Gospel of Matthew is addressed to a Jewish audience. And there Jesus is presented as the new Moses, the new teacher. And so you have these sections where Jesus gives new teaching. You have heard it said, but I say to you, as the new Moses. And then Matthew will give us a few stories to illustrate this, miracle stories of what Jesus does in order to put this new teaching into effect. Mark's Gospel, which is the shortest of all the Gospels, and probably the first one to be written, has Jesus always on the move. As you know, the Gospels are written in the Greek language. And there's a word that Mark loves to use in the Greek. It's the word euthus, E-U-T-H-U-S. There's a variation, euthus, E-U-T-H-E-U-S. Over the whole of the four Gospels, both words are used 72 times. But in Mark alone, they're used 42 times. And here in the very first chapter of Mark, the word is used 11 times. It's the word immediately, straight away, just then. In English, we translate it in various ways. So as we've been moving through the Gospel of Mark so far, we first came across the baptism of Jesus back in 1 verse 10. And it says, immediately, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were torn apart, and the Spirit of God came to rest upon Jesus. Two verses later in 1 verse 12, we have Jesus immediately being driven out into the desert by the Spirit to encounter the devil. A few verses later, of course, he begins his public ministry, begins to proclaim and preach about the kingdom of God breaking in. And he goes to Galilee. He's walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he comes across two brothers, Simon and Andrew. And there he says to them, come, follow me. And immediately they leave their nets and come, follow him. He continues to walk along the shore and he sees two more brothers, James and John. And he calls to them to come, be fishers of people. And immediately they leave their boats and they leave their father Zebedee there on the shore. Then he goes to Capernaum and immediately on the Sabbath, he goes to the synagogue and begins to teach. And immediately, there in the synagogue, this man who is possessed by an unclean spirit comes and confronts him. Our gospel today takes up exactly where we left off last week. He's leaving the synagogue and immediately he goes to the house of Simon and Andrew and discovers, when they immediately tell him, that Simon's mother-in-law is there sick with a fever. And so, of course, he goes to heal her. This sense of urgency that is characterized by Mark's gospel, this sense of breathless telling of the story. It's like a little child who comes and tells you what they've been up to that day. And then I did this, and then we went and did that, and then we did this. You know, this sense of this urgency and this wonder of what Jesus is doing among the people. This is the sense of Mark's gospel. He can't wait to tell you the wonderful things that Jesus is doing in his midst. That Jesus is making present among the people of God. This is the Jesus that we encounter. The Jesus that wants to heal all who are sick. So it's no wonder that the whole town comes crowding around the door of Jesus, wanting to hear him teach, wanting to hear him proclaim this good news of the kingdom, and wanting to be touched by Jesus. This Jesus who is not afraid to work even on the Sabbath. This Jesus who is not afraid to make himself unclean by touching a sick woman. This Jesus who simply wants them to experience the presence of God. In our gospel, there are two more things that really stood out for me as I've been praying it this week. The next is this sense of after his work is done on this long day that began back in verse 21. Jesus gets up very early in the morning while it's still dark, the middle of the night, and goes off to be alone. He goes off to find his source of energy again in prayer with the Father, to be rekindled in his life, in his devotion, to find that source of power with the Father. A reminder for us that in our busy lives, when we're hustled and bustled around, when we move from one place to another, there are times when we need to go off to a lonely place to be there by ourselves. The final thing is that, of course, then Simon and the other disciples come and they say to him, "We've been looking for you everywhere. Everyone wants you and wants your presence." Why? Because they want Jesus to continue to heal. They want Jesus to continue to do his thing among their community. And you'd expect Jesus to say, "Sure, I'll get up and go back to this town and continue my work." But no, he doesn't do that. He says, "I must keep moving. I must continue to go to other villages, other towns where other people need me." Jesus, in this passage, reminds us that sometimes we need to say no. Sometimes we need to acknowledge that we can't do everything ourselves, and that the best thing that we can do is to say no to one thing in order that we can say yes to something else. If our hands are so full of all sorts of good projects, if our lives are just full to the brim with all sorts of trivial matters, we'll never have room for the one thing necessary. We'll never know what it is that God is calling us to next. But at times, Jesus will invite us to spend time in prayer so that we can know what it is that he's inviting us to next, so that we can say no to other things, so that we can say yes to the kingdom of God, yes to his mission. And so let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for all that you are, for your healing presence, for the power of your word among us. Lord, we pray in thanksgiving that you desire to immediately come into our lives, into our presence, that you immediately want to bring your healing power, that you want to bring new life and new hope to us. Lord, we thank you for the gift of prayer. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to be with you and to be with the Father. And we thank you that at times you invite us to say no to those things in our lives that are not important, those things in our lives that do not bring us that fullness of life, that you invite us to say yes to your kingdom and yes to that mission and that purpose that you have given to us alone. We make this prayer in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.